Me to John chapter 4 this evening, John chapter 4, and a simple idea from John chapter 4 for us to examine in light of all that we've seen and in light of all that we've heard over these last few days. John chapter 4, stand with me out of respect for the reading of God's word, John chapter 4, and we're going to begin in verse number 34, go down to verse number 39, John chapter 4, verse 34, down to verse 39. And Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. And both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is the saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that wherein ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye have entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, He told me all that ever I did. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for our missionaries. Father, we thank you for the great work that you will do through them. And in your son's name we pray, and all the church said, Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. I want to talk with you just briefly this evening on this simple idea, the idea of the joint effort required to reap a great harvest. The joint effort that is required in order for us to reap a great harvest. The story is told in William Carey's biography. Of course, William Carey, that British missionary into India, known to us as the father of modern missions. William Carey would take the gospel where, up until that point, no man had taken the gospel before. William Carey met a lot of opposition externally. He met a lot of opposition internally. He met resistance from those on the London Baptist Missionary Society. He met resistance with his own friends and family. And just a few hours before Carey was to depart for India, he met with 4 very close friends. Carey would say much that evening before he left for India, but none greater than this. He said, our undertaking to India is like the penetrating of a deep mine which has never before been explored. And I will go down into the mine if you will hold the rope. Man, what a great image. I will go down into the mine if you will hold the rope. The joint effort required in order for us to reap a great mission harvest is simply that. That here before us this evening stand men and women who are willing to go down into the mine, remote areas of the world, and partner with nationals, willing to go into the Caribbean, plant churches and work with nationals, willing to go into China, willing to go into Hawaii. They are willing to go down into the mine in order to bring about a great harvest. But what is required of us, church? To hold the rope. To hold the rope. Several practical applications can be made from that. Man, a willingness to allow them to go into the mine is a responsibility placed upon ourselves. I said it this morning, the responsibility of evangelizing the world does not fall on the shoulders of missionaries. It falls on the shoulders of the churches. It falls to you. It falls to me. It falls on us. Now here are men and women willing to penetrate the deep mine, but are we willing to hold the rope? Dwight, would you come up here for a second? Michael, come up here for a second. Trying to find the biggest, buffest fellas I could find, Michael will have to do. Come here, Ethan. Because I trust neither one of these two fellas behind me. Grab the rope. Dwight, you get right here. Ethan, up here. I want you to hold on to the mine. Hold on to the rope, rather. This is the lesson. Lean, lean, and lean. And lean. And lean. And let him lean. Let him lean. This is what our missionaries are doing tonight. Man, they're going down into the mine. They're leaving comforts. They're leaving family. They're leaving friends. They're leaving it all. Man, the responsibility in order to see a great harvest falls on our willingness to hold the rope. So tell me, when someone is leaning over the mine, lean back. We didn't say bring them up yet. When someone is leaning over, you'll be all right, buddy. Hang in there.
You got it.
When someone is willing to lean over the mine, tell me how important the color of the carpet is at that point. When someone is precariously leaning over the mine, tell me how important is it that we have green carpet and not blue carpet? Because I never liked green carpet to begin with. When someone is precariously leaning over the mine, tell me how important is it that somebody parked in my parking place, Pastor? You see how silly, you see how trivial when someone's leaning over the mine? And no wonder there can't be the reaping of a great harvest. We're too busy dropping the rope and fighting with each other. Imagine Michael standing back here, and imagine me coming up to Dwight, and I can't believe Dwight would hold the rope like that. I mean, who in the world holds a rope with that kind of form? That's the worst rope-holding form I've ever seen. I mean, if he knew anything at all, Michael, about holding a rope, he would definitely not hold it like that. How trivial, how small, how insignificant. When someone, you are not precariously placed, but when someone is precariously placed over the deep mine, lean, buddy, lean. All the great effort that is required, thank you, gentlemen, the great joint effort that is required in order for us to reap a great harvest. Here in front of us stand men and women who are willing to go into the mine. Are you willing to hold the rope? It's that simple of a question tonight. It's that easy of an understanding. If we are going to bring these men and women into our mission family, if they're willingly going to plunge themselves into the deep mines of their areas and those fields, if they are willing to do that, then it comes at a cost, at a responsibility, and even at an obligation to ourselves to say, we will hold the rope so that you may go. Oh, I will go to India. But will you hold the rope? Will you give faithfully to Faith Promise? Will you give faithfully in your local tithes and offerings? Will you show up and support? Will you read the letters and pray? Will you take the card and post it on your refrigerator? Will you hold the rope for us? We're willing to go to China and willing to go to the Caribbean in order to serve and not return back home except maybe 5 years from now on a short furlough. And man, when they fly through First Baptist Church, will they see you still holding the rope so that more people can come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? We had 40 minutes, maybe a little bit longer than that, of these families standing here telling us how they are willing to plunge into the mine in order to bring about a harvest. And God's word will not return void. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is in the soul-saving business. God is in the business of bringing people, men, women, boys, girls, black, white, yellow, and every color in between. He is in the business of bringing them to a saving knowledge of Himself. And here are those who are willing to go into the mine. But church, it is our responsibility to hold to the rope, so that a harvest may be reaped. Of the joint effort that is required in order to see a great harvest. A joint effort that is required in order to see a great harvest. Notice how they run together. Three ideas. They see and they respond. Jesus says it this way. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields. Lift up your head and see the world that is around you. He says, say not that there are 4 months and then comes the harvest. He's making the point that the spiritual harvest does not run the same way that a natural harvest runs. It doesn't make any sense to look for corn in the field in the middle of July. Everyone knows if you want corn in the field, it's going to come in the fall because that's harvest time. And yet that is not the way the harvest is received spiritually. There is not a mechanical approach. It is not sow, then you go back and you wait, and then you sow, and then you go back and wait. No, it is to sow the seed with this expectancy. Be on the lookout. Lift up your eyes. Look at the fields. They are ready. They are white already to harvest. Jesus has been sowing the seed with this Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, the passage that we read the end of. The disciples had gone into town in order to find lunch, and when they returned, they see Jesus in conversation with this Samaritan woman, and they are full of wonder, and they are full of amazement. The Bible says that they marveled that Jesus would even give his time to somebody like this. And then upon that, Jesus has seen them marveling at him. He says to them, lift up your eyes and look. Jesus is saying, contrary to your expectations, the town that you just went to buy lunch in is not just good for a sandwich, it's good for the reaping of souls. And the disciples missed it. He says, say not there are 4 months. Instead, look up, lift up your eyes. And see what God is doing all around the globe right this very moment. What God is willing to do all around the globe, even at this very hour. See and respond. The great joint effort that is required in order for us to reap a great harvest. See and respond. Three questions to consider. What should I do as a matter of obedience? What should you do? 7 billion plus people on the face of the planet, and most of them without a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. What should you do as a matter of obedience to God? Man, what should I do? Man, what could I do? A matter of willingness. If there be first a willing mind, that's what Paul told the Corinthians. If there be first a willing mind, what should I do? A matter of obedience. What could I do? A matter of willingness on my own, in my own part, in my own life. A willingness to lay down my agenda. A willingness to lay down my dream. A willingness to lay down my plan. A willingness to die to self and to take up the cross and to follow Him wherever He might lead. What should I do? A matter of obedience. What could I do? A matter of willingness. And what would you do? A matter of desire. What if we erased everything off of the board, and what if we said, what do you want to do? I'm afraid most Christians at that point would say, I want a nice beach home. I want to sip some lemonade. I want to kick back and wear some sandals. And I just want to take a nice, easy. Listen, what should you do? A matter of obedience. What could you do? A matter of willingness. But more than that, what would you do? A matter of our desires. A desire in our heart to say, God, use my life for the sake of the gospel. Perhaps you have never asked yourself a question like that, and tonight's the best time to start. Spirit of God, where is the best use of my life for the sake of the gospel? Would you have, Christian, would you have the courage to ask that question tonight? Spirit of God, where is the best use of my life for the sake of the gospel? These men and women in front of us, man, they've asked and answered that question, and they believe that the answer to that question for them is the Caribbean. They believe the answer to that question for them is China. They believe the answer to that question for them is Hawaii. Some believe that answer is Cambodia. Some believe that answer is Korea. Some believe that answer is Afghanistan or Pakistan. Some believe that answer is Africa. Some believe that answer is the Sudan. Some believe that answer to be a lot of different places. What is that answer for you? Spirit of God, what is the best use of my life? Stop wasting your life and start spending your life for the cause of Christ. Most people just exist. They just breathe in and breathe out and go about their day, never accomplishing anything for God, never making a lasting difference, never kicking a door in the dent of their community, never reaching down into the mine of the harvest field and bringing about a great harvest. Listen, hey, there are plenty that will go. There are few that will go. There are plenty that will talk. But what about you? What would the Spirit of God have you to do in the reaching and the seeing to it that we reach lost souls with the gospel? The Apostle Paul, all through the book of Acts, we've studied this these last few weeks. This has been Paul led by the Spirit, constrained by the Spirit, came to the conclusion that the Spirit of God is leading him to Jerusalem and then eventually to Rome, and then in order to get to Spain. How did all of this appear? The Apostle Paul says, I feel compelled, I feel brought, I feel led, I feel tied up by the Spirit of God moving in my heart and in my life. Romans 15, the Apostle Paul says, yea, I strive to preach the gospel not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation, but as it is written, to him who or to whom he was not spoken thereof, they shall see. What is the great desire of the Apostle Paul's life? How did he answer that question? What would you do, Paul? I mean, if we could just put a whiteboard up here and you could write your script, you could tell your story however you want to tell your story. Money wasn't an option. Time wasn't an option. Visas weren't an option. Education wasn't. If we could just write your story, what would your story say? Would it have anything to do at all with the scene to it that the lost are told? Read the biographies of great missionary men. I encourage you parents to do so with your children. Read the biography of Jim Elliot to the Ecuador Indians. Read the stories of Carey and Judson into India and Burma. Read the story of John Patton to the cannibals on the Pacific Islands. Read how he was met with resistance by those in the missionary society. Read how they criticized that this would be a waste of his life. Read how they predicted an early death. Read about it over and over, and you'll find each and every one of these men, Studd and Livingston and Elliot and Judson and Carey and Patton, and you will find all of them facing a bit of resistance, but willing to plunge and penetrate into the mind and the responsibility of those of us who are not going into the mine on that field, but the responsibility of us to hold the rope so that they can go. Man, the seeing and the responding. How can you look at China and the masses of people who do not know Christ, and how can that not move you in some way? That should those men and women die, should Christ return today, that those folks would be lost to an eternity without Christ in hell. Well, Pastor, I don't want to talk about China right now. I want to talk about Dwight's form on how he held the rope, because I just don't appreciate it. I'll see and respond. Sow and reap. That's what Jesus is saying. Ordinarily, the same farmer who sows is the same farmer who reaps, and yet the work in the kingdom of God is not the case. Some labored and didn't harvest. Some harvested and didn't labor. Jesus is in the middle of sowing the seed in the life of the Samaritan woman. John the Baptist has sowed seed here. The prophets had sowed seed. Moses had sowed seed all through their writing. And now Jesus is sending his disciples into that same field. This is how it is in the history of missions. Some fields are fields mainly of sowing. Some fields are fields mainly of reaping. Some fields are ripe for harvest. And some fields need to be broken up so that the seed may take root. This is a strong word of encouragement to missionaries who are going into difficult places. One sows, another reaps. One sows, another reaps. As sow and reap. Do both, believer. Take a short-term mission trip. Be part of the mission activities that are planned for 2018. Decide now that you will be a part of that and not miss out. Some sow, some reap. And the great joint effort that is required in seeing to it that we have a great harvest. All that you would see and respond. All that you would sow and that we would reap. The great joint effort that we would sacrifice and rejoice. Can I ask our missionaries' families to come up here? Michael, can we get them in the place? Raphael, you help me. Let's have our missionaries' families all come up here and stand across the front, if that's okay. The sacrificing and the rejoicing. These families sacrifice in that they are going. We should sacrifice in that we are giving. These families sacrifice in that they are moving. We should sacrifice in that we give our money. These families sacrifice in that they are responding to the Great Commission, and we should sacrifice in that we are committing ourselves to hold the rope so that they can go. The same three questions I would ask you as we end are the same three questions we asked as we began. The sacrificing and the rejoicing as it relates to your giving, as it relates to your committing, as it relates to your money. Let me just speak real practical. As it relates to what you will give to seeing to it that we can reach the world both locally and globally. What should you do? A matter of obedience. What could you do? A matter of willingness. What would you do? A matter of desire. What should you do? You should tithe. We know that. What could you do? What commitment are you willing to make? Now, what would you do? How much above and beyond in the commitments and in the tithe are you willing to give so that a harvest can be reaped? God means for the work of missions to be a joyful work. Missionaries, this does not mean that it will be always an easy work. It does not mean that it will always be a safe work. But it does mean that it will always be a joyful work. Church, it does not mean that it will always be a convenient work. It's not easy to give a lot when you're not for sure if you'll have a job by the end of the week, but it does mean that it is to be a joy-filled work. God loveth a cheerful giver. What should you do? What could you do? What would you do? This is what I'd like to do tonight. We've heard multiple times about where our missionaries are intending to go. We've brought them in for the sake of considering them to be a part of our missionary family. So tonight I would like us to consider to bring in on these four families and their individual ministries to be a part of our Faith Promise team, the Webs to the Caribbean, the Kimmels and Core to the remote areas of the world, the Larsons to China, and the Madeiras to Hawaii. I would like for us to consider bringing them on for support. Is there one that would make such a motion? I see Bob Eggie makes the motion. I see Brother Bumakod has the second. All in favor, let it be known by an uplifted hand. And those opposed by a like sign. It's unanimous then. These are the four newest missionaries to our Faith Promise family. Let's join with me in welcoming them to our team. This is what we like to do then. As an evidence of our willingness to hold the rope so that they might go down into the mine. Missionaries, we've talked with our church family for these last few weeks about bringing a love offering and a gift to you. This is directly from our church people. This is no reflection on what we intend to do as a church or an organization. This is simply from the individual families in our church, and we felt the best way to do that is for them to be able to give it to you themselves. So Brother Johnson, if you wouldn't mind standing over there by the wall, and what we would ask for you to do, church families, we'd like for you to line up beginning at the wall and extending back that direction, and then you can make a turn around the back. And it's beginning at Brother Johnson here in just a moment. We will ask you to make your way across the front and drop into the bag the gift of appreciation that you have and the gift of support that you have for these missionaries. Some will be gift cards, some will be cash, some will be notes. It'll be a wide range of things, but these are from these individual families. And then on top of that, church family, what we would like for you to do is drop your Faith Promise commitment right here in the offering plate here at the steps. So I need you to bring your gift, and I need you to bring your Faith Promise commitment, and I need you to drop the Faith Promise commitment. That's the orange card. I need you to drop it right here in the offering plate, in the gift. I need you to drop into the individual bags of these individual families. So Miss Norma, Brother Julio, why don't you lead us, stand up right there and make your way this direction, and then let the rest of us follow suit. They will begin playing and singing, and as they play, as they sing, let's make our way this direction, please, so that we can do this in an as orderly of a fashion as we can this evening. Let's make